pray a lot that these are God's words and not my own. I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit, and I know in my mind that if I ever feel like I do deserve to be behind this pulpit, it's time for me not to be behind this pulpit. That small gift of humility that the Lord gives me is a blessing. How many of you believe in the strength and power of God? Oh, say it. Come on. How many of you believe in the love of Jesus Christ? How many of you believe in the power and comfort of the Holy Ghost? Good, you're all awake. Let's get started. I had one crazy week. Actually, a week and a half. Haven't had a week like this in, I think I said 4 years. I have a machine that I can't fix. And I had a sermon to prepare. And it seemed like every time I had in my mind this period of time to set aside to study, the phone was ringing, the emails were coming in, I could make a million excuses. This week was filled with my sermon. This last week was definitely filled with what had been put on my mind. And you guys know me, I'm pretty simple. I find a subject and just run with that. I'm not very deep when I do this. I think it's a blessing that I'm that way, because I think I could get lost if I got too deep in these things. How many of you here are human? You're human beings.
Yes.
We all are. We all face adverse conditions. Most of us would, if we heard the word adverse condition, we would think of the weather right off. First thing, right? Especially our friends and family, and of course my coworkers on the East Coast right now are facing some very adverse conditions, weather conditions. You know, we think of adverse as things that are unpleasant, right? I mean, they're things... An adverse condition could be something as simple as a paper cut or a stubbed toe or a broken ankle, right? Yeah. Or it can be something as great as a hurricane or a winter storm. Yeah. The definition of adverse is to lie opposite, that is, be adverse figuratively, figuratively to be adverse. To be contrary or oppose, acting against or in contrary direction, hostile, hindered by adverse winds is an example. Opposed to one's interests, an adverse verdict, heard testimony, adverse to their position. Adverse, pretty much anything that goes against what you believe or how you believe or how... An adverse condition could be something that changes the direction that you're traveling. Adverse condition could be as much as our loved ones that are suffering cancers. That's an adverse condition, like the weather, that most of the time can't be controlled. Right? I mean, they didn't ask for that cancer. They didn't ask for that ailment. They didn't ask to be so sick. Adversity. It's bad or evil, naturally or morally. This includes the second form. They've got a bunch of things in here. Adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displease or displeasure, distress, evil. And it says evil, man or thing. Yeah, evil. We all know evil can be man or thing. A great grief or grievous. Harm, heavy, hurtful, ill, mischief or mischievous, misery, not or naughty, not pleasing, sad, sore, sorrow, trouble, vexed, wicked. It just keeps going. But I say, each and every one of us face adversity in our lives every day. I faced adversity all week at my job. It was the simplest fix. I went in for the simplest thing. And she said, oh, by the way, I've replaced half the machine, and I have to go back Tuesday. There was adversity in my life all week. I faced it. You face it. Most of the time when we face adversity, it's like we're walking down a path, and there it is, and we, without thinking, step over it, step around it. We avoid it. We take care of it. We face it. All adversity isn't that easily overcome. Forgive me because I didn't write a lot of notes down. I 100% want to rely on the Lord today. Adversity. Adversity is something that, like it said here, is both man and thing. Adversity can be created by anyone at any time. And when I think about that, I think about the adversity that's in my life. When I see adversity in my life, where did it come from? I'd say most of the time it comes from myself. Wouldn't you agree that most of us create our own adversities or create our own adverse situations? I do. We also have what's called an adversary. The definitions I have are to cramp, literally or figuratively, transitively or intransitively. Excuse me if I can't pronounce that word right. Adversary, to be in afflict or affliction, besiege, bind up, be in or bring distress upon an enemy, a narrow, oppress, to shut up, be in a strait, vex, an opponent, especially with the article prefixed Satan, the arch enemy of good adversary, Satan, to withstand, to struggle literally, to compete for a prize. Oh my gosh, we could have an adversary that we're friends with, right? Aunt Carol and I are going to run a foot race. I'm picking on you because I know you can't today. And you want to, right? I know. She'd be my adversary. I love her to death. She could never be my adversary. But in something that simple, she is. In a competitive state, each and every one of you know and love an adversary. Kevin, you got coworkers, right? Sometimes there's a little competition there. You bet. You probably have guys at your same level that you would like to be, you know, above, or somebody there. I mean, we all do. I would love to take a step up in my position. They're my best friends. I work with them every day, but in that sense, they would be my adversary because we were competitive. And Satan, we know Satan, he's been around for a long time. Ever since when? The beginning. That slithery little serpent was there and caused Adam to fall. If Adam hadn't fell, would we have adversity in our lives? I say no. Thank you. We wouldn't be. Our brother says we wouldn't be. I have some reading today. Had most of it printed out, but last five verses of chapter 16 in Proverbs. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. That competition that each and every one of us has experienced, I'm not saying you do every day, that's our craving. We create that adversary. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I'm going to move on, just carry right on into the next chapter there. I'm reading these because, first of all, I read that because of what I just stated. Most of our adversities are created by our own selves. I believe that's what that stated. It's our own way of running our mouth or wanting something, being material. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifice with strife. You can. To have a house filled with provocative language or just anger. You can stand all day long and say you praise the Lord God, but yet you fill your house with such sins. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. We must stand responsible. Proverbs, I like Proverbs because it gives that common sense advice. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Our God allows us to have these trials in our lives. Because why? Hopefully because they burn in our hearts to do better. We find mistakes. We come up against trials. We have these things in our lives. And He's there for us. Would we be strong Christians if we didn't have trials in our lives and our Lord and Savior to look to? No, I don't believe so. If life was that easy, we wouldn't, forgive me for saying this, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. We wouldn't need God our Father, would we? The wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. We hear it every day in the world. People's mouths, they run, they don't care what they say, they don't care who they offend, they don't care. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. God's there. Children's children are the crown of the old, and the glory of the children are their fathers. I read that. Like, my children and my children's children are a great prize that I have that the Lord has given me. He's blessed me with that. Children and grandchildren, right? They're this miraculous, wonderful prize in each of our hearts. And our children should look at their fathers, their parents, the same way. It should be a glorious prize given by God. It's called respect. Respect of others. Respect each other. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. You can have the smartest guy in the world, and if he's talking to the wrong person, it makes no difference. Much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. The worth of our material items. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends, repentance or non-repentance. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. And I kept thinking about that one. As you start to pour water, what does that mean? When you start to pour water, it's a little bit. But the more you pour, the bigger it gets, or the more that comes out. You always start out with that little bit. You turn on the faucet, it starts out small and gets bigger. That strife, that contention, that issue, that sin, it may start out small, but it grows. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are they're not right with the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he that no heart to it? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man void of understanding striketh hands, and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that beggeth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Wisdom is before him that has understanding. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. The ends. There's a song that I heard this week. It's about the ends. It's about people. And all they look for is the end result, the ends. One of the lyrics says, some children die because of another man's ends. Again, man's creating adversity. He's creating adverse conditions. He's creating he's being his own adversary for the ends. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. This adversity that I've been witnessing in the world used to bother me. It really did. And until recently, I was with one of our brothers here. He's an elder in the church. And I said something off the cuff. And I thank the Lord that the Spirit was with him that day, because he didn't hear it as just a off-the-cuff little joke. And he gave me an explanation of things, and it made me think. And that's where I got started with this thought of adversity and our adversary. First Peter 5, first verse. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. My comment to my brother was, God's a conservative ruler. He governs conservatively. You know what my brother said? He said there is no conservative or liberal or libertarian or otherwise with God. The issue between the world and God is God has one set of rules. God established his rules from the beginning. They don't change. You abide by God's rules, or you won't be a part of God's city, his governed body. Whereas man, as you and I, we go about our day creating adversity in our own lives because we don't agree one with the other, right? And it seems to be a constant task that we have taken on to make sure that we are all inclusive. Believe me, I want to be amongst everyone. But too often we create our own adversities in our own lives because we don't agree with someone and we force change. Too often we mix up diversity with adversity. I believe in diversity. I believe that there should be no racism, no homophobes. There should be no anything. Every man, woman, and child on this earth has the freedom according to Jesus Christ to decide whether they want to be good or evil, whether they want to follow after their own pleasures or after the commandments of our Heavenly Father. You say, well, I live in this world. I have to be a part of this world. You're right, you do. You have to follow the laws that are created. David's challenge. Make God first. Don't make it about being fair to everybody. We are fair to everybody. God said, this is how it is. These are the rules. These are the laws. If you don't agree with God, you're creating adversity in your own life. Especially if you think that you're going to have a part in the end. In His end. Our time should be spent focused on God, not filling ourselves adversely with worry. That's what we do constantly, don't we? How many of you are worried about tomorrow already? How many of you are thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow hasn't come. Is there a problem today? No, there's no problem today. Then why are you worried about tomorrow? Tomorrow will come. We have to face everything with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. We will face trials, temptations, the adversities God described to Adam and Eve. Did he not tell them? What did he say? He told Adam that you're going to eat from the dirt of the ground. And he told Eve, you're going to suffer travails in childbirth. Those sound like trials to me. They go from having everything provided for them, no pains, no sufferings, no worries, no nothing. They took a bite of an apple and now they feel ashamed and guilty, and now God says, you're gonna work for your food. He put trials before us. This is our probationary period. We must prove ourselves worthy. Matthew chapter 5. It's the Beatitudes. It's the first thing everybody thinks of when they think of Matthew chapter 5. Well, it is, but I'm going to start at the 21st verse. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. I see so much of that in the world. I see so much of that in how do I describe it? The news, the movies, the TV, you name it. Any information coming in, there's so much hate. There's so much anger. And a lot of it, there's no reason for it. There's reason for anger that we see. But that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It goes back to Proverbs about the house that's filled with sacrifices and strife. God wants a people that love Him and do what He wants them to do. He doesn't want anger. He doesn't want sin. Do any of you ever come here for sacrament? You sit in that pew and you wonder, am I really worthy of taking this today? I question myself every time. And I take it every time because I don't want to go without my portion of my Savior. Agree with thine adversary. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Can you guys just see Satan delivering you up to Jesus Christ to be delivered to your judgment? Can you picture that? You're this horrible sinner. Do you really think he's going to deliver you up there? You bet he is. You bet he is, because he wants your company in that world of torment, that lake of fire. God wants you to be right when you're delivered. God wants you to be whole. He'll make you whole. But are you worthy of being whole? And no matter what or who delivers you, thou shalt be by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We'll pay the full price. We will pay the full price, both mortally and spiritually. When we're judged, we will pay the price. And hopefully, if God's the God I know He is, He'll give me a little change from my pocket and say, thank you, good and worthy servant. If not, if I'm not worthy, He'll take everything I have and He'll put me in that horrible, horrible place. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. We can't put personal differences between us and our brethren. I mean, how can you think that Jesus says, love thy neighbor? Neighbor, I could you know, we don't get along, but we've put a peace between us. I wave, he waves, we say hi, because we know we have differences that we can't get over. I trust the guy. I travel. I trust the guy. I know that if something happened at my house, my daughter could go to his house and stay. But he and I don't see eye to eye on things. Be not forgotten to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Just because you differ with somebody doesn't mean that they don't have the Spirit of God with them. You know? I read through, pardon me for forgetting the chapter, I believe it's in 8 and 9, the story of Amulek and Zeezrom. But Amulek first had to meet Alma, right? Just a man, a good man, seemed to be a good man, had a lot of family, he knew a lot of people, he did well. But if that angel hadn't appeared to him, he wouldn't have gone home, he wouldn't have met Alma, he wouldn't have been blessed. His family wouldn't have been blessed. He would not have had the Spirit of the Lord to face Zeezrom and all of the governing body that was fighting against the laws that God had put in place. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. You can't judge somebody else because the way that they are in, because you yourself have been in that same way. Again, we have to have that brotherly love one for another. Just because we don't see eye to eye, we can't create adversity between each other because of that. We have each been bound by those sins and by those things that hold us back from the Lord. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Not the things that somebody else has, not the things that you want, but the things that you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established by grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. If the elders, priests, teachers are truly preaching the word of God, Christ's doctrine, and we, as the body, as those of you who are sitting in the pews, myself, when I hear a sermon, if we haven't come prepared to receive the Holy Spirit, haven't prepared to receive the Holy Spirit before we arrive, I'm afraid that sometimes there will be adversities caused. And I don't believe that there is one person that stands behind this pulpit that believes or wants to create adversity among this body. Not one. But it's a responsibility between the two. I have to pray. I honestly am so scared before I get up here, because I don't want to go against the will of God. I don't want to give you something that is not His will. You have to come prepared too, because We're human. We're going to interject some of our humanness into these things. But you have to see through and see the Word of God, see the will of God, and not leave here and be mad because somebody did something that, what a quack, what a goof. I'm sorry, you just created adversity in your own life. You just created an adverse condition between you and that minister. And I apologize and I ask your forgiveness if I have ever caused, if I have ever caused anybody to feel that way. Back to God's governing body. Back to man's governing body. Picture them as two islands. You've got man over here. His rule is to make sure everyone is happy. Everybody is happy. I'm going to pick on you, David. You're the head of a household. Is there ever a time that everybody is happy with the decision that you make? It's impossible. But the goal of man in the judicial system today, the Pharisees did it. We've seen it all throughout the Bible. The Pharisees did the same thing. Maybe not so much making everybody happy, but their rule. They were an up-and-coming governing body. But man's deal, his thing, is to make a law so that this group is happy. Make a law so that this group is happy. Do this so that this group will be so that this group will prosper. And not once do they interject, well, maybe if we did this according to God's will, it would work out. Now, God, on the other hand, unfortunately made laws that will never change. And so, I'm sorry, not everybody's going to be happy. Unless you follow God's will and the commandments that God has made. So, I picture his island over here, and that's the island I want to live on. That's the place I want to be. So what do I have to do? What is it that I have to do? Definitely not get wrapped up with these crazy people in this world, right? I'm going to finish here. I've got a little bit to read. 1 Nephi, chapter 4, page 45. Verse 35. And it came to pass that they did speak unto me again, saying, what meaneth the thing which our father saw in a dream? What meaneth the tree which he saw? And I said unto them, it was a representation of the tree of life. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the word of God, and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. The fiery darts. I thought about this earlier. How often are we putting down that shield of faith in Ephesians that we read about, the gospel armor? How often are we putting down that shield and not only lighting those fiery darts, but handing them to our adversary? Wherefore, I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul, and with all the faculty which I possess, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. In all things. And they said unto me, What meaneth the river of water which our father saw? And I said unto them, That the water which my father saw was filthiness. And so much was his mind swallowed up in other things, that he beheld not the filthiness of the water. And I said unto them, That it was an awful gulf, which separateth the wicked from the tree of life, and also from the saints of God. And I said unto them, That it was a representation of that awful hell, which the angel said unto me, was prepared for the wicked. And I said unto them that our Father also saw that the justice of God also divide the wicked from the righteous. Excuse me. And the brightness thereof was like unto the brightness of a flaming fire, which ascendeth up unto God forever and ever, and hath no end. And they said unto me, Doth this thing mean the torment of the body in the days of probation, or doth it mean the final state of the soul after the death of the temporal body, or doth it speak of the things which are temporal? And it came to pass that I said unto them that it was a representation of things both temporal and spiritual. For the day should come that they must be judged of their works, yea, even the works which were done in the temporal body in their days of probation. Wherefore, if they should die in their wickedness, they must be cast off also. As to the things which are spiritual, which are pertaining to righteousness, wherefore they must be brought to stand before God to be judged of their works. And if their works have been filthiness, they must need be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. If so, the kingdom of God must be filthy also. But behold, I say unto you, the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot be uncleanness. Unclean things enter into the kingdom of God. Wherefore, there must needs be a place of filthiness prepared for that which is filthy. And there is a place prepared, yea, even that awful hell of which I have spoken, and the devil is the preparator of it. Wherefore, the final state of the souls of men is to dwell in the kingdom of God, or to be cast out because of that justice of which I have spoken. Wherefore, the wicked are rejected from the righteous, and also from the tree of life, whose fruit is most precious and most desirable above all fruits. Yea, and it is the greatest of all gifts of God. And thus I spake unto them, brethren. Amen. Adversity in our lives, we need to start looking at things a little differently. Try to stop creating as much adversity in your life. Adversity is going to happen. The trials of everyday life are going to be before us. But ask yourself, is this the direction that God wants me to take this situation? Or is this the direction that I myself want to take this situation? And as far as bodies or groups that we join, they are not important. We must decide according to our love and our need and our want to serve our Lord and Savior. You know, I am so saddened with some of the things that I've probably done that have irritated people, and that you know, because I just, like this whole thing started out, it was just a quick, funny gesture. And look where it's led. Open my eyes. Beware of Satan. Don't load his ammunition for him. And look to that promised place that God has for you. And strive for that. You'll never make everyone happy.
Thank you, Rusty. A few announcements. Let's remember...